They tested God in those 10 verses. And here in the rest of the chapter, we see God's anger poured out, which we'll focus more on that next week. But tonight, we also see embedded in this same passage, Moses, believe it or not, questioning God's power. Of course, we never do that, do we? But we can learn, hopefully, from Moses' example. So beginning in verse 10, where we finished last week, Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them around about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. We'll stop there. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, the privilege to open it and hear from the Holy Spirit tonight, and just pray you teach and grow us through it. And we ask for your perfect guidance. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the second time in Scripture that God's anger was kindled so far. The first time was when Moses tried to back out of his call in Exodus chapter 4 by saying that he couldn't speak well and so forth. But here we see the people have angered the Lord through their discontentment, like we saw last week, and we'll see more next week. Our focus won't be on the the people this week. It'll be next week because this passage really has two sermons built in. And tonight we're focusing more on Moses and his interaction with the Lord through this. And as we see, Moses obviously had a very special relationship with God. Amen? I can't picture ever speaking to God this way. I'm sure you can't either. But Moses had already spent the 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain with God. And so he did have a very special relationship with God and believed that he could be openly honest with God, but cried out to him here in the 11 to 14, essentially saying, Lord, it's too much. I can't do it anymore. I cannot be the leader of these people anymore. And you can imagine. I mean, here he is trying to lead them in God's ways. He's given them God's commandments, and all they've done every step of the way is complain, disobey, and now moan about not having flesh and saying that they shouldn't have left Egypt in the first place. Imagine saying such a thing. So he says to God, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? He says, verse 14, I'm not able to bear all this people, and it's too heavy for me. He says, Lord, it's just too much. What's interesting is God not once rebukes Moses in this whole thing. He instead says to Moses, I'll take care of it. This burden that you're claiming you can't handle, I'll take care of it. I'll just take the spirit that I've given you and I'll put it on the 70 elders. We'll spread the load, if you will. But you know, God was never not with Moses, was he? And God was always guiding them with the cloud, fire, the cloud, and then the cloud during the day, the fire by night. He was taking care of them. He was feeding them. And Moses, though, was looking at his own weakness instead of God's strength. And never forget that. You know, he talks so much here about the burden. When we have God as our Father, when we have a Christian walk with God, folks, burdens is going to be part of it. It's not that we're not going to have them. It's just that God will help us through them. You know, what's the Bible say? Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. So never and once in the scriptures and say, become a Christian and there will be no more burdens. Doesn't say that, does it? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. We get to the New Testament. What's it say? 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care. So we're told to cast our burden. We're told to cast all of our care. So we're going to have burdens. We're going to have cares. But God says, give them to me. I'll help you carry them. I'll help you through them. And that's what he did with Moses here. He said, he didn't yell at Moses, which is surprising. He didn't growl at Moses, which is surprising. He just said, Moses, take care of it. And verse 17, I will take the spirit which is upon thee. I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Now, think about something tonight. Same spirit. Amen. This is the Holy Spirit we're talking about. How much power does he have? Well, he's God, so it's infinite. So it's not that all of a sudden there was more power available, right? It was just distributed among more people. You know, when God promised to come down in Acts chapter 1 and said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Well, how many people is he upon now? How many millions of people is the same Holy Spirit empowering to serve him? And so the power was infinite. Never forget that, which we're going to talk about in a few moments. God just took that and gave it to more men, this infinite power. But Moses, again, he's never talked to God this way before, but verse 15, basically, if you won't take care of this, just kill me. Wow. Kill me. And let me not see my wretchedness. I think he here is acknowledging his own sinfulness and getting so discouraged. and not trusting the Lord for the power and the ability to lead God's people. But you think Satan's not going to try to discourage us when the burdens come? You think Satan's not going to try to discourage God's leaders? Of course he is. So what's also interesting to me is God said 70. Why 70? Why not 80 or 60 or 50? Why 70? Well, 7 is God's perfect number. But you get to the New Testament, and I go to Luke chapter 1, it's definitely not a coincidence that when Jesus deemed it time to start sending out more disciples to preach his gospel, you know, up to this point he had the 12 apostles, but when it came time to send out the 70 disciples to serve him and get his message out, he chose 70. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, the 70 besides the 12, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So he chose 70 disciples initially to get the message out. This is above and beyond the 12, of course. He says to Moses of the, and we're all guessing it was about 3 million, which is still pretty accurate, right? If there were 600,000 men, soldiers, that each of them would have had a family. They would have had a wife and children. So 3 million is not a big estimate. But the 70 is quite fascinating, isn't it? It's fascinating to me that God didn't rebuke Moses. It's fascinating to me that God just said, I'll take care of it, even though Moses said, kill me if you won't. But it didn't stop there, and I want us to get to the heart of this tonight, and that is Moses then, after complaining about the burden and God took care of it, then questions God's power, something we should never do. Verse 21, he said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Imagine how much meat it would take to feed 3 million people for a month every day. Think that's a bit of meat? Well, we're going to find out how much it was here in a few moments. But here's God's answer, verse 23. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Essentially, how dare you question my power? I've said it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. By the way, this is exactly what happened with Sarah, remember? After the angels came and said what God was going to do and give Abraham a miracle son, Sarah laughed at God in Genesis 18. And God's response, look at Genesis 18, 14, was a similar response as he gave here to Moses. And that essentially was, do not question my power. Genesis 18, 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We all know these are rhetorical questions, don't we? This was right after Sarah laughed, saying, how am I going to have a child? I'm too old. Of course, God then gave her the child, didn't he? And told her to name him Laughter after she laughed at God. That wasn't a coincidence either. So here Moses doubts God's power. That will anger God. Sarah doubted God's power. We see it over and over again in the scripture. This is not what we're supposed to do. We should never question God's power. Jeremiah 32, turn there. Same thing happened here. Jeremiah chapter 32. And down in verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's three rhetorical questions from God himself about his power. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And is there anything too hard for me? This is God talking about himself and his power. And what is he telling us? Don't question my power. Amen? But it's in the New Testament too. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And verse 37. This is when Mary said, well, how is this possible? How can I have a child when I'm still a virgin? God's answer, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. God is teaching us about faith, isn't he? That the worst thing we could ever do, and the thing that we can do to limit God in our lives, is to question his power. Because he says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so to question whether or not God can do something essentially ensures that he won't. Amen? If you say, God, I want this, but I'm subconsciously thinking, I don't really think you can pull this off, he's not going to. Because you've just questioned him and his power. And without faith, you're saying, I don't have the faith to believe God can do this. But how many times in the scripture does he say, I can do anything? Quit questioning my power. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? No, of course not. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, of course not. Is there anything too hard for me? He said, no. And we need to live our lives believing this to be true. Amen. That there is nothing too hard for God. Feeding 3 million people for a month, meat sounds impossible, doesn't it? But did God do it? Yep. Giving Sarah and Abraham a child when they were in their 90s and their hundreds sounds impossible, but God did it. And he was the promised son, Isaac, and we know where that led. God, over and over again, even asks us to prove him, doesn't he? Now, Malachi 3:10, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, he says. Test me, see if I will keep my word, see if I have infinite power. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He challenges us to test his power because it's infinite. Amen. He even says when we go to pray, look at Matthew 6:6, that we need to come. This is important. I tell people this all the time, to keep just a couple of prayer requests to yourself. It's okay to share your requests with others to get more prayer power, but there should be at least one or two of your own that no one else knows about. Why? Because when it's answered, you know whose prayer answered. Amen. And it builds your faith. And he says in verse 6 of Matthew 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So he wants us to have some secret time with God. And I think he's also telling us to have some secret requests that are just between us and God. And when he answers, we know whose prayer he answered. Amen? Because nobody else knew about it. It was a secret between us and God. He's there. What's he telling us to do? Test me. Prove me. See if I am an all-powerful God who answers prayer, who watches over his children. And that's what he said to Moses. Go back here to verse 23 of Numbers 11. This was his answer. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. It always, for us, comes down to this book. If God's made a promise, we can claim it. Amen? And believe it. Now, is he always going to answer exactly how we want him to? No. Because we're sinful. You have not, because you ask not. But he also says, and yet have not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Many of our prayer requests are selfish. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Sometimes we don't know what that is because we're so self-centered. But he did promise that if it's according to his will, he'll answer. And he says here, my word's going to come to pass. We're told in Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? God will always, always keep his word. How big of a thing was this? Verse 31, there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. If you look later on, it tells how much the people, each person gathered in homers. So, yeah, it takes a little bit of research to know what a cubit is and what a homer is. But if we assume there were 3 million people, according to the scriptures, each of them gathered 10 homers, which looks to be about 2,200 liters, which means 7 billion liters of quails. That's a little bit. So that was a big one, wasn't it? Enough quails to feed 3 million people every day for a month. That's a lot of meat. I mean, quails aren't that big. It takes a lot of quails, doesn't it? And yet, God brought them out of nowhere and dropped them in the desert. Just like the manna. Now, this particular one, as we'll see next week, it showed his power to Moses, but it was primarily to teach the people a lesson, because it's not going to go well with them, as we will see. They're actually, many of them are going to die because of their lusting. But the point of this part of the passage is interaction with Moses. Here Moses says, Lord, I can't bear the burden alone. God says, just choose seven. He didn't say, okay, you can resign. He didn't say, go find a lawn chair and take it easy. He said, no, we're going to delegate. Amen. I'll give you 70 men. And I'm going to put the spirit I've given you, I'm going to put it on them and let them bear the burden. You'll just be their boss. Let's delegate. And then Moses said, but Lord, how you're going to feed all these people for a month meat? Are we going to take every fish out of the sea? Are we going to kill every cow that we brought with us? How are we going to do this? God says, you'll see. Don't question me. The Lord's hand is not waxed short. My word will come to pass. And sure enough, here comes the wind. And here comes 7 billion liters of quails. Wow. That was quite a miracle. That was God's way of saying to Moses and to us, his hand is not waxed short. Amen. There are no limits to God's power. That is how we should live our Christian lives. When we go into our prayer closet, that is what must overshadow the whole thing. God can do anything. God is all powerful. You know, we believe it when we get saved, don't we? We believe he has the power to save our soul, which we don't even know how to look at, from hell, and forgive us of our sins and give us a mansion in heaven. We believe all that, but then when we have a hard prayer request, the devil whispers in our ear and says, you know, God can't really handle that one. He can make the universe, but he can't answer that prayer. And look, Moses did it, didn't he? He's already seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And then he says, Lord, how are you going to feed all these people? God says, watch. If I said it, I'm going to do it. Amen? Remember that. If God says it, he will do it. So never question his power. And remember, his hand never, ever has waxed short. Always has infinite power and can do anything. And that is how we should pray and believe. Amen? That our God can do anything. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are grateful that you've given us your word to teach us these lessons. Forgive us, Lord, when we've questioned your power. And then you answer and you bless. You work miracles, and we thank you and we praise you. And then the next time, we silently question again. It's amazing that you bless us at all as much as we fail you. But Lord, may we believe when we get in that prayer closet, that you are a miracle-working God. We love you. We pray you'd continue to work miracles in our lives. And may we keep trusting you, Lord, with 100% faith, like a child would, and watch you continue to pour out the miracles in answer to prayer. Thank you for your word. We love you.